church. And I challenge you to take a rock. And many of you took the rocks. We passed out, I think, 116 rocks. And I counted them. How many were in the bucket? You know how many were in the bucket? 42. So that's all right. That's all right, because it takes a minute to forgive. And I'm glad you took it seriously. If you still have your rock, I challenge you to forgive, to drop your rock, to drop the rock that you have, and to allow Jesus to do a work in and through you this day. We are going to move today into a new series that we're called, the only thing I could come up with was this, calling it Getting Ready for Jesus, because he's coming back. Getting ready for Jesus. So strap in. We're going to talk about some good things today, but I would say a lot of what we're going to talk about today is like a Bible study. It's not a normal study that we do probably here. Sometimes we do more of a preaching style, but I don't want to get into what Jeff thinks about something. I want to just lay it on the line for you out of two passages that we're going to look at very long time today, things that are important about Jesus coming back. So let's get right into it. Let me pray, and we'll just smash into it. Jesus, it is good to be with your people, and I thank you for everyone that is here. I thank you for those that are watching online. I pray, God, that you would just bring some clarity to us, and that you would bring a realization that not only you're coming back, but that you want us to be ready. And so those two important doctrines that we're going to talk about today, I pray that you would use me and help me to say the things you want me to say and shut my mouth where they need to be shut. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 24, first of all. Just keep that there, Matthew 24. And we'll be looking primarily there and also in the book of 2 Peter. So this week, we've continued to see the images around our world that take place. Those of you who've watched the news have been around for a while. You've heard about wars and rumors of wars and floods and earthquakes and hurricanes and political unrest and Israel getting shot at and famines and unrest and all those things. And like, we understand that our world seems to be in a mess. And this goes all the way back to Bible times. It was not much different back in Bible times. The world has always been in a bit of a mess. But there's some things that the Bible talks about. And it's interesting that as we start this week, this new series called Getting Ready, it's important to understand the gravity of what God is doing in this place we call our homes. This series is going to focus on the end times and the return of Jesus. Probably the whole month of October, I think we're going to be on it. So I pray that you'll come back. I want to try to answer some things that are on some of your mind, or at least address some things. For some of you, it won't be deep enough. For some of you, it will be too deep. And for some of you, it'll be just right. Kind of like the Goldilocks and the Three Bears, you know. I tell that story to my kids all the time, you know, the soup and the... Anyway, so you understand that. So I want to be clear at the very beginning that there are times when it seems like things are falling apart. And it does seem like our world has fallen apart. But I want to say to you, in Jesus' economy, when things like this happens, it means that things are falling into place. I want you to take solace in that today. I want you to take comfort in that, that as you see the world that seems to be going off its hinges, that it's falling into place. It's falling into place. Like, I think God wants us to have a spiritual readiness, and what's happening in the world around us should get our attention. The hairs on the back of your neck should be standing up a little bit. They should, because these times are perilous, and they are weird, and they are unexplainable, and there's a lot of things we don't understand, and things we trust, and things we don't trust as we look around. And it should get our attention, and it should cause us to lean in, it should cause us to listen, it should cause us to be reflective, it should cause us to look at our own lives and to say, I need to do some reflection on who I am in this place. Let's start with Matthew 24. If I can set the stage for Matthew 24, this passage that we're going to look at, we're going to look at the first 8 verses. And it's Jesus and his disciples are in Jerusalem, and they're leaving the temple grounds, and they're coming out, and the temple is big, and it's very beautiful, and I think they're probably admiring some of these buildings as they walk away from them, and there's where we pick up this story in Matthew 24, verse 1. It says this. You can read along in your Bibles or on the screen here. Jesus left the temple and was walking away with the disciples. They came up to him to call his attention to the buildings. Okay, so there it is. Do you see all these things, he asked? Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and they said, tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of the coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. You will hear of wars, rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Listen, see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. They're the beginning of birth pains. These disciples, they couldn't imagine. They could not imagine what Jesus was talking about this destruction. And yet in just a few decades, 70 AD, the temple would be destroyed. Jerusalem would be demolished. And the disciples came to him privately in this passage, and they say, Jesus, I hear you saying what you're saying, but could you let us in on some inside info? Can you give us some deets here, what's going on? And so, Jesus, you know, just, we need to know. We're inquiring minds, and we're your buds, and can you just tell us when's this all going to happen? And so here's what they're doing. They're asking two questions. If you go to the next one, next screen. Two questions. They're asking about the fall of Jerusalem, and that's important. They couldn't even imagine or fathom that. And they're asking about the return of Christ. So we have to understand that when the disciples are talking here, they're talking about two things. Jesus is talking about two things. In their minds, it just goes together. They can't imagine a scenario where it would be destroyed and it wouldn't be the end of the world. How is that possible? How could this temple fall if it's not the end of the world? And Jesus answers them by giving two different answers. Now, that's where things get kind of challenging for us this morning as we come as people who want to understand what the Word of God says, because the Word of God often has things in it that have dual fulfillment, things that happened back then and things that happen now. Is he talking about 70 AD or is he talking about 2024 when the world seems to be falling apart? What is he talking about? And as we look at Matthew 24 and you try to separate those, it can be hard to interpret. Like it has been debated and debated and debated. Scholars do they get together and they don't always agree on how to interpret this passage. And depending on when you study this in history, there are certain verses that seem to be more clearly aligned with he's talking about what happened in 70 AD. And other verses seem to indicate that he's talking about the end of times, the end of days. And so there's a couple things that I want you to go about. The next one, if we'll go. Here's what we know. If you look in verse 8, he says, there's going to be birth pains. We read that. There's going to be pains of birth coming up. You're going to see them, and he tells what they are. And then he says in verse 26, nobody knows what day or hour. And then he says, keep watch and be ready. Keep watch and be ready. So if I had to say to you today, there's an important doctrine for us to get on, to understand today, it's this doctrine right here, that Jesus is coming back, and you need to watch, and you need to be ready. There's the things that you've got to grasp on today. So what does that mean to be ready? Well, it has different things to it. This last week on Thursday, Whitney and Brad took us to a concert, invited us to go to a very neat a comedian, Jim Gaffigan. I don't know if you've ever heard of Jim Gaffigan. We went on Thursday night, and we were ready to go. I'm telling you, we were ready to go. All day long, I was thinking, I canceled my Bible study. I had a Bible study on Thursday. Sorry, guys, but I canceled it because they got us these tickets, and we wanted it. He's funny, and I like to listen to him. He is a comedian for people my age and a little bit older, younger maybe, and he's funny, and we really wanted to go see him. So we go. We get in the car. I change. I'm ready to go up to Clues Memorial Hall. We get up and we get in the parking lot. It's not very busy, but we get in there. We get a great parking spot. Everything looks really cool. We walk over to the hall, and there's hardly anybody walking around. And we get there, and we get to the door. It says, Jim is taping a show on a network, and there's no show tonight. We didn't get any kind of notification, nothing. We were ready. We were ready to go. We knew that it was gonna be incredible and it was gonna be great. And we get there and there's no show. We were pretty upset. It's next year. Next year, they put it to. Next year. So every time I hear the word Jim Gaffigan, I want to go. I'm pretty upset with Jim. And I want you to know that as we were walking out, there was all these other people start walking in. And good old Brad. Is Brad in here? I don't even know. Is he gone? No. Okay. Is he upstairs? He's not here. Okay. Anyway, what's funny about it is Brad is this helper guy. And he's telling me, there's no concert. There's no concert. I'm sorry. There's no concert. And they're going, what? And every person to a T, they just kept walking. They just kept walking. And they all had to go find out for themselves that there was, I guess I wouldn't trust some guy, you know, walking in. I guess maybe I would say it's not going to happen. But I want you to understand the fact that how important this thing of being ready is. Doesn't matter if he's not here or not. Doesn't matter if there's a concert or not. You have to be ready. You have to say, I've done everything, I'm watching, and I'm ready. That's the doctrine that I want you to take home tonight. I don't want you to take home the doctrine that you have to figure out all the signs and the times, and you have to figure out that Israel doing this, and that there were 70 years from this, those are good things, and they're things to get caught up on, but they're not the main thing. They're not the main thing when it comes to talking about the end times. And so what I want to be clear, very clear with you as we start this series today, is that the essential doctrine for us is that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And we need to be ready. Like the hour and the day, nobody knows. Jesus even said, I don't know. I don't know. The Father knows, but I don't know. Historically, what happens when the church stands up and preaches about this, by the way, I haven't preached about this for about 4 or 5 years, so I thought it's time to do that. When the church traditionally hears an eschatology sermon, a sermon on the end times, what happens is nothing. Nothing. Because you're going, he's not here. Be ready. Thanks, Jeff. I'm okay. And we don't want to do that, and I don't want you to do that. I want us to be the people of God who are ready to do what God has asked us to do. He asked us to watch, and he asked us to be ready. See, we get distracted, or we get divided, or we separate into different little tribes based on, we interpret this. And there's so many different versions of the end times and so many versions of this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is happening. And there's churches that split over this, and there's friends that are very angry about certain things about the end times and about eternity. And you forget the essential main thing is watch and be ready. He didn't say interpret all the signs. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with interpreting the signs. There's nothing wrong with talking about the signs. Those are good things, but we gloss over the tiny little detail of what really God is wanting us to do. And if we miss that, we miss so much. There are some 260 chapters in Scripture in the New Testament that talk about the reference to the return of Christ. There are 300 references to the return of Christ in those chapters. Three times in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, I am coming soon. And we have to be ready. See, when we get distracted or divided, what happens is we begin to get these little factions. And, oh, he's a millennialist. He's an amillennialist. He's a end times. He's a tribulate. And it goes into all these things, and none of them are that important, because none of them really mean anything other than just somebody's really good scriptural interpretation of what could or could not happen. So Matthew 24 is a really good passage to start thinking about what God is we talk about this series in this, because there's a lot more to come. There's so much that we need to get a grasp on, but we've got to have that be our essential thing. And so then, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter 3, starting in verse 3. And I want to read this to you, because this is the other passage that we're going to look at. And we're going to reference this the next couple of weeks. 2 Peter 3, it's not 33, it's 3. Sorry. Jeff's mistake. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing, following their own evil desires. They will say, where is the coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it is since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forgot that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of the water, and by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Wow, that's a lot to unpack. So scoffers are going to come. In other words, scoffers are going to be scoffers. And they're going to come, and they're going to be rolling their eyes, and they're going to be making fun, and they're going, oh yeah, where is he? But that's all motivated. But he says in verse 3, he says, they're following their own evil desires. Why are scoffers scoffing? Because they're caught up in this world. They have been trapped by this world, and they're going to do what they're going to do. And they said, heck to the nothing for what God says, because he ain't coming. So if he isn't coming, he hasn't happened yet, then I'm not going to believe that he's actually coming. What kind of argument is that? Just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. What a stupid, stupid argument. And it gives, when we have that kind of attitude, you know what happens? That he's not here, he's probably not coming in my lifetime, and I'm not going to die till I'm 70 or 80 or 90, and so it's all going to be good. It gives you permission, listen, it gives you permission to do what you want to do and treat people the way that you want to treat people. All the while, you've got all it figured out. This is when God's coming. You know, but yet you're the person who treats people like dirt. You say things to your wife. You say things to people in your life that are horrible. You put people down. You better watch it, church. Scoffers are going to scoff. Why are they going to scoff? That's such a dumb thing. That's the whole problem, because he's not here. He hasn't done it yet, so just live like you want to live. And he says, why? He says it in verse 5. They deliberately forgot that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed, the earth was formed out of water and by water. They forgot. That's our generation. They forgot that God did this thing, that he put it together. We just think it's us. It's just us here doing what we're doing. And we forgot. There's so many people have forgot that God is really the one that made us and made everything else. And it's in a horrible spot. And then in verse 6, Peter says, let me read it real quick. Where'd it go? By these waters also the world that time was deluged and destroyed. That's such a horrible thing to understand, because if you don't understand that the same God who did that is coming back, then you're going to live your life how you want. You're going to live your life any way you see fit. So then Peter uses an analogy to make some sense, and he says it's kind of like this with God. From where God sits, where he sits in light of eternity, turn to the next one if you would, please. But do not forget this, and then here's 8 through 11. I need to read this. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. Here's Peter explaining this. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So from where Peter's sitting when he writes this, what he wants the church to know, and he wants you to know, that in God's eyes, Jesus probably rose from the dead just a couple days ago. Just a couple days. See, God is not, he's not bound by time like we are. We are so bound by time. We carry this little device. Where's my device? Did I leave it somewhere? Oh, it's in my pocket. We carry this little device with us everywhere to know what time it is, to know where we're at, and to know what's going on. And time is so important, and we don't have very much of it. We act like we're so busy, and we got so much going on. And he says that this, God, to God, it's like one day is 1,000 years. It's no big deal. God is not done. He's not defined by time. See, that's where it gets into the crazy, crazy thing for me, because my head starts hurting when I start thinking about that. I start thinking about, you know, the God saying he always was. Well, how is that possible? What do you mean he always was? Where did he come from? Yeah, I am that I am. I always was. Time does not mean anything to God. So is God slow? No, God's not slow. God is doing exactly what God wants to do. And we understand this. Those of you that are older here, you understand this. When you get to be 60, 70, what happens is time just flies. You wake up and a whole other year is gone. When you're a kid, you can't wait to get to be 3. Oh, I can't wait till I grow up and I'm 7. I can't wait to grow up and I'm 9. I can't wait. And it's just you're waiting, you're waiting, you're waiting, you're waiting. But as you get older, baby, it goes quick. Anybody attest to that? Verse 9, he says this. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some of you understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to acceptance. Why isn't God coming back? Why doesn't he just wipe this earth clean and start over? Because, see, time doesn't mean anything. He is not slow. He is right on time. He is doing exactly what he wants to do. And so God is patient, and he doesn't want anybody to perish, but he wants everybody to come to salvation. So here's the point that Peter makes. God is patient with you, church. And if you're sitting here scoffing and going, is he ever going to come back? If you're sitting here today and going, I wonder where he's at. God is patient for somebody in your family who is a real dingbat, and not opening up their heart to Jesus. He is patient, and he is waiting for you or somebody to get in that person's space and to love them and to show them who Jesus is. Boy, that's important. And then you skip all the way down to verse 15. It says this. Next. Here we are. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Bear in mind, think about it, church. The reason he's not coming back is because it means salvation to somebody. It's gonna be important. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He's not slow. He is right on time. If you go back for me, that I'll be there in just a second. Now listen to me. It is not church speak to say that Jesus waits for you. He is waiting for some of you because today some of you are not ready. He is waiting for you. He is waiting for somebody in your family. He is waiting for somebody that you know. He is waiting for us. And that's what Peter's getting at here. And he said God is waiting patiently because he knows the longer he waits, that's when salvation comes. And the bad things that are going to happen that you think are bad now, they're going to get a lot worse. They're going to make people turn to Jesus. You think, oh, how could they get in? They're going to get bad, church. They're going to get really bad. And I don't know if it's tomorrow. I don't know if it's next month. I don't know when it is, but I know they're going to be bad. And the whole purpose of it happening is because he wants people to know who he is and to give them an opportunity to say, I call the name of Jesus and I ask you to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. And then he says in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. That's the message. That's the message today. That's what I want you to take home. You go back to Matthew 24. Jesus is on the Mount of Olives with the disciples, and they say, hey, when's it going to happen? You can tell us, how long do we have? And Jesus speaks about birth pains, things like earthquakes and famines and sickness and disease. And he speaks about these birth pains. As a father of three girls, going into each one of those girls being delivered, I went in with my wife. And you know what I know about birth pains? Well, I don't know anything about birth pains, but but my wife does. And I know this. I know that there's a monitor, and I know that it monitors birth pains. And I watched that, and I remembered that birth pains. What do I need, Charlie?
Your battery's gone.
My battery's gone dead. Thank you so much. You are so sweet. I'm going to try to make it. I'll see what I can do. Here's what I know about birth pains. Nothing. But here's what I know. I know there's two things. That if you are in labor, intensity and frequency are very important things to be aware of. If you've delivered a baby recently, you understand that intensity and how often is it happening. Now, here's what I want you to go. Every recent headline says that natural calamities are up 400% in the last 3 years. 400%. That should cause us to keep watch, to cause us to be ready. When we see things happening like that, they should cause us to sit up, to lean in, and to understand that we have to be ready. But Peter says, Jesus is coming. He's coming. And we know this. So what are the implications? Like, what's my takeaway from all this? And he says it right there. This is the message that the church needs to take out of this today. Don't be scared. Don't be sitting here today being scared. Do this. Listen to anything I say. Listen to anything I say. Listen to this. You ought to live holy and godly lives. That's what he's calling you to, holy and godly lives. Stop the sham. Stop the way that you're living your life. You're this way one day and another way the other day. God is speaking to the church, and he's speaking loud. Live holy and godly lives. It means any time from here forward, you are to understand that when you come to church, when you go to Bible study, you're hearing an eschatology sermon, you're hearing a study on end times, because every time something tells you to live a holy and godly life, you're talking about the end times. It helps you be ready. It helps you be watching and keep your head out of the news. It is so easy to get caught up in the news. It is so easy to get caught up in the horribleness of everything that's going on. Keep your head buried in Jesus. And so we ready ourselves for the return of Christ. Some of you have someone in your home, when you say to them, or you may have had somebody in your home, when you say to them, like, it's time to leave. Are you ready to go? Yeah, we're ready. Do you got your shoes on? No. I got to go to the bathroom. I got to put my makeup on. I got to do this. You know, they're not ready. They're not ready. But they say that. You understand what I'm saying here. Are you ready? There's a choice and a decision. Have you made a decision to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior? There's the first place I want to ask you today. Have you been obedient in baptism? If you haven't, you're not ready. Is there a sin you need to confess? Is there an attitude you need to change? Is there an addiction that you need to finally get some help with? Is there a vow that you need to start keeping? Is there someone that you need to forgive? Get your stone out. Is there somebody that you need to offer forgiveness to? And so I ask you very plainly and bluntly, if today was the day, are you ready? My hunch is, the course of this series, there's a couple different responses that you're going to have to everything we're going to say these next couple weeks. Look what is, next slide, please. I'm making it, guys, I think. There's three responses to this message. You're going to have joyful anticipation, you're going to have fearful trepidation, or you're going to have apathetic indifference. What I mean by that? I mean, very simply, if you're here today and you can't wait, you're like, bring it on, I'm ready, come Jesus today, then that's good. That's good. That's where Jesus wants you to be. If you're here today and you've got this trepidation that just goes, oh man, I'm scared because I don't know if I'm ready or not. I can't tell you how many people I talk to when they in hospital rooms that have lived godly, incredible lives. Christian people have said, I don't know if I'm going to make it. How is that possible? You should know that you know that you know that you're ready to go. Otherwise, you're going to be scared. And I think some of you feel what I call just an apathetic indifference. And this, for me, is the most dangerous place for some of you to be. Because you walk in here with an attitude, you're going to walk out of here with an attitude. Because you walk in here not forgiving somebody, you walked in here upset, angry, and you walk out that same way, then you've missed the point of everything Jesus came to do. Maybe this is a time when somebody's eyes are open in here. If you feel indifferent right now, my prayer is that you would pray God this one prayer. Soften my heart, God. Because you know what your problem is? You got a hard heart. You're not listening. no matter what God's throwing at you, no matter what God is bringing to you, it just goes right off. The Bible says Jesus is going to return, and on that day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord, and that's going to happen, church. When's that going to happen? I don't know. But be ready. And so today's the day we kneel. Today's the day maybe somebody in here surrenders. As the band comes, we're going to sing a time of what we call our ministry time. And for what ministry time is around here in our church, it's not a song to get us to the end of the church. It's a time for God to do some business in your heart. It's a time for Jesus and God to come to your heart and to say, are you ready? Are you ready? What do you need to do today? What kind of business do you need to do? And so today may be the day for you. And so I want to say to you today, if there's some things that are going on in you that you need to confess to God, do it right there in your seat. If you're here today and it's some things going on in your heart, and you say, I need to lay it at the feet of Jesus, and you want to come down here to our altar and lay it out to Jesus, you do that. Nobody's going to come accost you. Nobody's going to come up and bother you. Just you and Jesus take care of it. If you need somebody to talk to, look us up after the service. I'll be around. If you're here today and you've never been immersed before, the end of the month, the 27th of October, we're going to have Baptism Sunday. If you've never been immersed before, that might be your day to do that. October 27th, plant a seed in your heart today. God wants to do some things in somebody here today. I don't know who. And you got three responses you can do to everything that I just said. I know some of you are going, man, the kickoff's at 1 o'clock and I need to be out of here and I wish he'd shut up. And I understand. But I also understand that you've got eternal business, some of you, that needs to be done. So let's see what God does as the lights go out. See what Jesus does.